Hello everyone. Let's start our exciting journey, or rather continue our exciting journey about the role of compliances in IT. And this particular chapter, we will set the tone for the rest of the classes. In this particular chapter, we will look at IT compliance, governance, how is compliance helpful, what are the different challenges, what are the responsibilities of an organization when it comes to compliance, why should an organization invest in compliance, and so on. My name is Anuj Dalal, and I'll be happy to take you through this particular exciting discussion. So let us quickly look at the agenda. We will start by looking at compliance. What exactly is compliance? Why is compliance needed in the first place? More importantly, we will look at compliance from the lens of IT, the role of IT in compliance, what are the different regulations, and I'll speak about those that I have encountered in my professional life. Benefits of compliance, cost of compliance. So how much does it take for an organization to set up a compliance office, different regulations, the CISO, that is the Chief Information Security Officer, what are the different guidelines generally laid out, etc., etc. What are the challenges of having a compliance office in place? More importantly, from a cost perspective, effort perspective, and the impact on the overall organization. Finally, we look at some of the categories in which compliances can be bucketed, classification of those compliances, right? So let's get going. Meaning of compliance. So what exactly is compliance? We say, do you comply with this or not, right? So compliance is just a conformity or acting in accordance with the standards. For example, if you are driving on the road, you are asked to maintain a speed limit. So that is compliance. You board a train, you are bound to take a ticket in the train. So that is compliance. You drive a bike on the road, you're supposed to wear a helmet, so that is compliance to the rules. Another example is paying taxes on time. That's another form of compliance. So whatever rules that are laid, whatever guidelines that are made, so those are made for the benefit. And when you comply, or when you act according to those rules, those guidelines, that is conforming to those rules, right? So that is what compliance is. And it could be multiple different compliances. Compliances in terms of legal conformity, compliance in terms of behavioral conformity. So say, for example, if a particular party asks you to wear certain dress code, right? So that is conforming to the party rules or the party norms. So that is behavioral conformity. Legal conformity would be conforming to the legal standards, and so on. So you get the idea, right? So conforming to particular standards, rules, processes, procedures, or laid out guidances. So that is compliance. And what does it mean at an organization level? So compliance involves adhering to both external rules imposed on the organization and internal control systems that are implemented to achieve compliance with those external rules. Say, for example, setting up an internal audit committee to ensure that the rules, processes are in place. That is a form of internal compliance. Complying to the norms laid by the central agency. Say, for example, if you have Securities and Exchange Board of India, that is SEBI, which lays rules, guidance, procedures for trading companies, right? So in this case, organizations, say for example the stock exchanges, NSE, BSE, MCX, they would have an internal committee to look at the procedures and how the procedures can be improved to ensure that those guidelines are confirmed as per the standards raised by the central agency, which is SEBI in this case. Compliance is essential for not just individuals, but even organizations to adhere to acceptable standards, regulation, and laws, ensuring the smooth functioning of the society and even for the organization, right? So at an individual level and at the organization level. So behavioral compliance, as in complying to the rules set by the society, wearing helmets while you drive on the road, following traffic signal, crossing the roads on a zebra crossing. So these are more of individual-led compliances. Filing your income tax returns on time, that's individual compliances. And from an organization perspective, things like say following Basel II norms, following IFRS 9 reporting standard when it comes to a bank, or following IFRS 17 reporting standard when it comes for insurance. So these are more compliances or guidelines laid towards organization. Now, a thing in mind to be kept is these compliances are kept for the overall better functioning either of the organization or the individuals. Now, the government has laid out certain rules, say for the individual to say wear seat belts while you are driving, right? Now that's for your own good. So a case in time has to be understood that these compliances, regulations are imposed on individuals and organization for the better functioning of the overall system, right? So let us understand some of the keywords, laws, rules, and regulations are related, but they are distinct concepts. So a legislation is an act of law passed by a legislative body, while regulations are the set of rules imposed by regulatory bodies. Now, what is the difference between the two? Okay, if I'll talk from the IT perspective. So the Data Protection Act, or the Data Protection Act that was set in the Parliament in 2000, right? Now that is a act which is passed by the Parliament, which is a legislative body. Okay, what does this act say? Act related to say the privacy of data. I'll give you an example. So say for example Facebook, right? Facebook has a lot of customer data, your data, my data. We keep on posting images, our photographs, etc. How that particular data is to be used is set in that data protection guideline or the Data Protection Act. So that is an act that is passed by the legislative body. Whereas regulations or regulatory bodies implement those implementing laws. Now, as a part of those data protect guidelines or the Data Protecting Act, banks, insurers, they would have rules laid down about how the data has to be protected when it comes to say a banking system or an insurer system. So a regulatory body in case of a bank would be say the Reserve Bank of India. In case of insurers, it would be IRDAI, that is the Insurers Regulatory Development Body of India. So these are regulatory bodies, right? So you get the difference. So there is a legislative body and then there is a regulatory body. Rules are temporary guidelines, whereas regulations are the official standards with legal consequences or violation. I'll give you an example. So Bharti AXA Life Insurance, it's a insurer, as the name suggests. There were certain rules laid by the regulatory body, in this case the IRDAI, and this is publicly available. They had some of the customer data which was not in India. So I think it was in 2016, if I'm not mistaken. The IRDAI penalized them very heavily for not having the customer data in India, and they asked the insurer to ensure that wherever the customer data is located outside the India, they have to bring it back to India. I mean, that's a regulation, right? Storing the data in India is a regulation, and hence it had certain legal repercussions for violating those rules. As I mentioned, laws are created to protect people and their rights and interests, while rules are formulated to regulate people within their rights. Compliance standards, compliance procedures involve adherence to various standards, and compliance often is synonymous with compliance to the laws. So when it comes to standards, a simple example. So we talk about ISO standard, or so if you are driving on the road and you wear a helmet which is unbranded, it's not made as per the ISO, that is the Indian Standards Organization, then that particular helmet is not deemed to be safe by the authorities, right? So hence confirmation with the standards is also important. And why is it important? We look at the second point, because these are created to protect people. Now, the Motor Act in India says that while you are riding a bike, you have to wear a helmet. Now, people might just maybe create a cap out of, say, paper and say that, oh, this is my helmet, right? So, and hence the reason why a compliance standard is required, so that it mandates people that when you talk about a helmet, what exactly is the definition of a helmet? And if you talk about a helmet, then this is the particular standard by which a helmet has to be made. The Reserve Bank of India, RBI, we just spoke about that body, is the primary regulator for the banking industry. Just like that, you have the IRDAI as a primary regulator for the insurers. RBI provides constant directives and guidelines to the banks with regards to various services offered to the customers. Say things like the repo rate, the reverse repo rate, what is the SLR, that is a statutory liquidity ratio for banks to adhere to. So these are some of the more banking related regulators enforced by RBI. When it comes to IT related regulators, IT related conditions, RBI would say banks should have the data residing only within India. Banks should have a disaster recovery center, that is a secondary center if the primary data center or the primary place where the customer data is stored goes down because of any reason. Maybe there's an electricity failure, a flood-like situation, lightning, etc. So you need to have a backup system, a disaster recovery center, or a secondary data center located in a different seismic zone. So this is again one of the criteria laid down by RBI when it comes to IT regulations. Compliance with RBI regulation is absolutely essential for banks to operate legally, or RBI comes down very heavily and imposes very severe penalties, violations, if those standards are not confirmed. In fact, it can even lead to cancellation of the banking license if RBI gives certain warnings and the particular bank doesn't adhere to those warnings. In a large IT organization with several global customers, compliance to multiple country regulation is also a must. Assuming that an insurer is present in, say, India, Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, Philippines, etc., every country would have their own regulations. Regulation when it comes to, say, the share of an entity in the organization. So maybe the Indian entity has to have a controlling stake in the India entity. Whereas you could have different standards in other countries. So the point is that every entity has to follow the rules laid down by their own country regulators. Most of the IT companies have certain processes which are mandated by certifying authorities. So when it comes to IT, yes, there could be certain local regulations, things like labor laws, things like data protection guidelines, etc. But also there are certain central bodies, so which are global in nature. So things like ISO certifications, and there are several certifications like ISO 27001, which deals with data protection, ISO 27017, 27018, which predominantly deal with handling data when it is stored on a cloud platform, handling PII data, PII, that is personally identifiable information, on the cloud. So these are some of the standards that are mentioned in ISO. Things like CMMI levels, IT companies are generally governed by those. So you would look at, say, the big companies, TCS, Wipro, Infosys, HCL. So these would be CMMI level 5. So these are again certain certifications that are required for the IT companies. There could be certain organizations which would be at CMM level 3, right? Then there are certain other regulations like the Six Sigma. So Six Sigma is a process or a guideline laid to ensure the quality is met. So Six Sigma talks about, say, 1 million, 1 defect per 1 million, right? Then there are certain things like the ITIL. So these are more process related. So information technology, information infrastructure library. So you have ITIL version 3, which talks about different processes when it comes to servicing customers. So all in all, these are different compliances or processes in place for IT companies to operate, right? Corporate compliances require, as we mentioned, internal policies and procedures designed to prevent and detect violation of applicable laws, regulations, rules, and ethical standards by employees, agents, and others. Now, why do we say agents and others? Employees, we can understand because employees have to kind of conform to the standards. But what about the agents? Now, agents are also, say, third-party resources working for the organization. So any third-party subcontractor or any third-party agent working for an organization also needs to adhere to the same standards, procedures, maybe trainings, certifications to ensure that the relevant standards are met. Maybe for an insurer, they would have multiple DSAs or direct selling agents. Now, because they are selling the insurance of the company, they need to be trained and they have to adhere to the procedures designed to protect the violation. It also includes legal risks and internal controls. So again, we spoke about the internal committees set up to ensure compliance with the external agencies. Many large IT organizations in India have corporate compliance programs to meet the business requirements with clients that have their own corporate compliance programs. So just to give you an example, say the Tata Group have their own compliance program in place. So they will have a set of standard procedures across all Tata Group companies. So if you have to do business with them, you need to ensure that you comply to those rules, those businesses, right? Similarly, say other companies, IT companies would have their own corporate programs. So this includes not just the compliance office, but also the privacy office. So every organization would have a compliance office in place. So compliance office is headed by a compliance officer who ensures that the company has the relevant compliances in place. These companies, the IT companies, have the highest certification level. So we spoke about CMMI or PCMM compliance or the ISO 27,000 audits, 27,001, 27,017, 27,018, etc., etc. And we also spoke about ITIL. So ITIL frameworks for servicing customer requests, service management frameworks, dashboards, etc., etc. So these are some of the certifications or regulations in place when it comes to large IT companies giving services to its end customers. So again, let's look at what compliance is. So a compliance system and the processes in a company depend upon multiple factors, right? Now, the compliance, so first is the nature of business. Obviously, the kind of compliances that are required for a IT company would be different from a manufacturing company, right? The manufacturing company would be more focused on safety on the shop floor, safe working conditions, and things like that. Whereas an IT company, because it doesn't have a physical threat as such, it'll be more focused towards privacy, data protection, etc., etc. So the compliance would be related to first the nature of the business. Second is the nature of the company also. So if it is a private limited company, or if it is a public company or a government company where the government has a controlling stake, the kind of compliances would be different. So if it is a private company, it's privately held, maybe the compliance can be relaxed, right? Whereas in a public company, a public company is a company that is listed on the stock exchanges, they need to make certain disclosures to the stock exchanges about any major event that has happened. Things like the director of a company stepping down. So that particular information has to be sent to the stock exchanges. Periodic coverage of reports, quarterly reports, annual reports, etc., have to be shared with SEBI if it's a public company. If it's a private company, as I said, some of these rules can be relaxed. The range of the business activities. Is it operating only in one particular country, one particular geography, or it's globally spread across? Then there are also certain rules about fund transfer, as in internationally, how can the funds be transferred for the revenue lines where the revenue gets generated from India, but the parent entity is, say, outside India. So there are certain rules for that as well. Jurisdiction where it operates. Famous would be, say, the local jurisdiction where you would have, say, certain labor laws of that particular country, wages, pension schemes, insurance schemes, provident funds, right? So these are more locally present and forms of compliances for the local market. It also depends upon the size of the company. So typically, the provident fund says if the company size is, say, less than 100 employees, then it's categorized into small company, then the benefits are different. While it's a major multinational which have a lot of employees, then the rules are different. So depends upon the nature of the business and the technology currently in use. There is stock market status as well. So we spoke about public limited companies where disclosures to the stock markets have to be made, sharing of periodic reports, quarterly reports, half yearly reports, P&L statements, etc. have to be made. Also, when any major event is happening, say they're doing some kind of mergers, amalgamations, those have to be sent to the stock market, because the people who have invested in that particular company, the shareholders, have to be informed of such kind of events. The regulatory authorities, that is with respect to the business operations. So we took examples of IRDAI or the RBI, which keeps on giving these guidelines. And you would see in the news that, you know, sometimes RBI changes the interest rate, the repo rate, the reverse repo rate, etc., etc. So based on the above, the compliance officer can constitute a broad idea about the scope of the compliance and whether the company is supposed to comply with all the applicable laws or it's some of the laws in addition to the regulatory framework, right? So one is a absolute must have, one is a good to have. So then a judgment is made about what are the must haves and what are the good to haves. So IT compliance, now let's talk about IT compliance. Right, so IT compliance is not just a technology compliance. So technology compliance could be exact make, model, etc. But IT compliance is also more related to the processes, right? So what are the business drivers? What are the business risks involved when you are doing business? What are the high level policies in place? So maybe I'll give you a few examples, right? So say a company who has employees as well as third party. Now, employees are to be trained on, say, the safety norms, but ensuring that even the third party is trained on the safety norms is a procedure and a standard in place. Having a proper audit committee, internal audit committee, and having an external auditor in place. So that is part of compliance. Now, it's got nothing to do with technology as such, right? But you would still have an internal auditor to check if the internal processes are same or not. A very simple example, right? A company that, say, is doing some kind of business and they have a procurement division. Now, ensuring that the procurement division or the procurement office treats its vendors correctly and does the procurement in a proper manner. You understand what I'm saying, right? So there are absolutely legitimate transactions where there is no suspicious money trail behind any particular procurement. So that is part of the internal committee or the internal audit, where they would say, was intent or a business justification properly raised? Was the vendor evaluation properly done? Have they received quotes from three different competing vendors? Have they looked at the market scenario, etc., etc.? So that's part of the internal committee. How do they monitor this particular scenario? So was a purchase order or an intent properly raised, etc., etc.? More importantly, even the employees need to be aware and trained. So we spoke about internal employee training towards compliance. Also, it is important for the third party or the agents to be trained with all the compliance procedures. And some of the success factors for compliances are, first, the organization commitment. So the organization commitment, it comes from the top-down approach. So it comes from the top management to the bottom employees, everyone has to be committed to ensure that the compliance standards are met. We spoke about the compliance officer who heads the compliance committee. So the roles of the compliance committee, the internal auditors, and the other supporting committees are also very essential. Second is a robust framework. So while the intent is for the organization, the top management, and the employees within the organization is correct in terms of complying to those standards, there should be a robust framework involving the three pod approach. So people, processes, and technology. So the compliance should be a combination of all of this. A proper framework with a high level commitment in meeting compliance objectives is absolutely needed. And the last is corporate compliance management requires a institutionalized process. So institutionalized process is a entire 360 process within the organization to ensure that the relevant compliances are met. Fourth is the process control methodology. A process control methodology defines a robust framework for risk management and control. You would have a risk register where say non-conformity to certain standards or operating procedures is led. So a risk register should be maintained. How the standards or the frameworks are implemented, so SOPs for that should be in place. So say for example, there is a change control policy, right? So the change control policy has to be documented. Any changes to that should also be documented with proper version numbers, etc. So IT compliances, let's kind of sum it up. So IT compliances refers to the adherence of IT systems, processes, and practices to various regulatory standards, industry guidelines, and internal policies. Compliances ensure that an organization's IT operations are in line with what is legally required and as per the industry best practices, reducing the risk of data breaches, financial penalties, violations, ultimately leading to reputational damage for the organization.